We come to part 8 in the series on a healthy church. And we have said a lot of things in the past few weeks about that. Last week, thinking of a person becoming a Christian, then a disciple, then a disciple maker. And we've talked a lot about this. Now here we are. This will be the last in the series. What now? What's the message now? What should we say to each other? What could we find in the Bible as the message for us now? So I had the series planned in a different message, but this week I've been thinking, what is the exact will of God? What is the purpose of God? What is the one central, supreme, eternal purpose of God? Eternity past. No creation. Then creation, history of man. Here we are, 1999. Is there one central, exact purpose of God? Now, if we can find that and fit into His purpose, then you're a healthy Christian. Then we're a healthy church. Can we find it in Scripture? And I say, yes, we can. And it's the passage we read this morning in Philippians 2, 5 through 11. Would you open your Bible and turn to that passage as we consider the great truths here so that we can fit into God's one central supreme purpose for all eternity. Now, let me read the passage again as you follow in your Bible. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him, and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. It is my conviction that this passage of Scripture expresses the one central, supreme, eternal purpose of God. What is it? To exalt our Lord Jesus Christ. If that is what God is doing, then that's what we better be doing, individually and together. And as I read through this passage and thought about it, my heart leaped, my blood pressure went up, I had to get up out of the chair and walk in the room and let this sink in. It was a glorious moment of communion and fellowship. Now let me read verse 5, well, verse 6, really, it's kind of a difficult thing to follow. Let me change the wording, but not change the truth. Beginning at verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Paul had just previously expressed how Christians should live in humility toward each other. Don't look only at your own things, but at the things of others. Then he gives this exhortation, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. Let me read it this way. Have this attitude which Christ had. Christ was God, being fully divine. He did not consider his equality with God the Father as taking away any glory from God the Father. And then Paul speaks of his condescension to become human. He joined us. This is Christmas. He became a man. So this is not new to us, but it's reaffirmed. And so the Christian that joins the Lord in his central purpose is a healthy Christian. The church that joins the Lord in his central purpose is a healthy Christian. Now let's examine the text, particularly verses 9 through 11. You begin with therefore, which always takes us back in context to the previous statement. Because of who he is and what he has done, therefore, God also has highly exalted him. We don't normally use that word exalt in our everyday conversation, but we use the word honor a lot. And we could say it's the same thing. God also has highly honored him, highly loved him, regarded him, put him first. If we're going to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, then it means to put him first. Honor him. Give him the glory. The word means above. So that first of all we could say his exaltation is supreme. You couldn't think of anything higher. There couldn't be any greater honor that God the Father and God the Holy Spirit could have given to God the Son. Now we want to be careful as we say this, so that we don't play one member of the Godhead against the other. And sad to say that some denominations and some Christians do that. And as you drive, you'll see cars with bumpers with a picture of the dove. Holy Spirit. Well, I keep thinking, wonder what they believe about God the Father and God the Son. And why just that? So as we say this, it is the purpose of God the Father to honor the Son. It is the purpose of the Holy Spirit to honor Jesus Christ. And the reason for that is because it was Christ who became the human, who suffered humiliation, the death of a criminal, and fulfilled his mission, and now he is highly exalted, supremely so. It's supreme. It's the highest ranking possible. And you could think of that in human terms, usually military. What is the highest ranking military person in the world? Well, it depends on which empire happened to be the strongest at the time. At one time, it would have been Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. At another time, when the British Empire was strong and so on, the Roman, the Caesars. Now today, the strongest nation in the world is the United States of America. So that the President of the United States has the highest ranking military power in the world. That's scary. That's something to pray about. And now recently, the leaders of Russia and China were together. Buddy, buddy. To take down the might and power of the United States, which has already happened. Our Pacific fleet has diminished. Our best pilots are leaving the Air Force. We're in serious trouble. But nevertheless, the commander-in-chief of the most powerful nation has the highest rank. Our Lord Jesus Christ is supremely above any earthly human unit. And not only is it in rank, but it's in name. And he has been given the name which is above every name. If you have a hymn book, look through that hymn book and get in the section for the names of Christ. It's a marvelous experience. The name is the identity. That's the way we identify each other, by our name. He has the highest name. And Paul identifies him here with preexistence as God, his equality with God the Father, and him being divine. Speaks of his incarnation, his humanity, his voluntary death on the cross, his triumph over evil, his permanent rule. Why shouldn't we have the name above every name? Names are important to God. He knows us all by name. He knows the stars by name. In the Old Testament, there are at least 12 names given to God. You know some of them. Jehovah. El Shaddai. Adonai. He said to Moses, "My name is I Am." It's the highest name. Christ, the Anointed, became Jesus, the Savior and the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ. In your mind, does he have the highest rank? Does he have the highest name? When you speak his name, do you do that reverently? No lips are worthy to speak his name. But because his name is worthy to speak, we do it. His exaltation is supreme. Now, next, this passage teaches us that his exaltation is merited, and the one word, therefore, gives us the evidence of that. Because of who he is and what he has done, therefore he is highly exalted. And why is this? Because he fulfilled his mission perfectly. The angel said to Joseph, "You'll call his name Jesus because he will save his people from their sin." He did it perfectly. There's nothing wrong with the sacrifice that Christ made for sin. The sin is removed, blotted out under the blood. It is no more. It does not exist. And we are as clear before God as if we had never sinned. We are justified. Redemption is accomplished. Religion is do. You have to do. You have to perform. You have to get better. More good works. It never ends. Grace is done. Already done. Already accomplished. The certainty that we will be in heaven is as real as those who are already there. Because of his sacrifice. His exaltation is merited. His supreme exaltation is deserved. This is right. You know, this life gets so tiresome of worrisome of things being wrong and the injustice and things out of balance and just so many things are just not right. And so many people having places of honor and rank that don't deserve it. And we see that all the time around us. But here is something that is right. It's the exaltation of our Savior. This is the one right thing that's occurred, and it's already happened. So we should have a keen sense that justice has been taken place, that his exaltation is right, and this should be the source of our greatest joy. It doesn't matter what happens to me. And it doesn't matter what happens to you. What really matters is what happens to our Lord Jesus Christ. And what has happened to him is our greatest joy. He this morning is highly exalted. With the highest rank and the highest name as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If you have nothing else this day in which to rejoice, think of that. This is right. Thank the Lord there's something that is right. You can't find it in a newspaper, but you find it here. His exaltation is supreme and his exaltation is merited. His exaltation is also demanding. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. I love that. Every tongue will confess he is Lord. a universal bowing, no exceptions. Every king, every president, everybody one day will have to do this. Among the unbelieving, they have refused to do it in their lifetime. But at that day, before God, they will be made to bow their knee before Him and bow in submission as an acknowledgement of His superiority. I don't know if I'll get to see that, but I'd love to see that. I'd love to see some of those Old Testament people who tried to defy God. Pharaoh. Wouldn't it be great to see Pharaoh bowing his knee? And wouldn't it be great to hear him saying, "Jesus Christ is Lord"? A universal confession of His superiority. And God will cause it. They'll probably do it with resentment and with regret. But it will happen. And that is wonderful. Now the difference is for us. God's people do it now and will do it forever, rejoicingly, willingly, lovingly. And we are doing it this morning. We are saying, yes, Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We honor Him with our lives and our church. I say to you that this is God's central eternal purpose. When you think through Old Testament history, what is that about? It's pointing to Christ. And what is the New Testament Gospels about? His time on earth. And what are the letters to the churches about? To His followers. We're a part of it. If this is your one central, supreme purpose and mission in life, then you are lined up with God's will and God's purpose, and you're a healthy Christian. If not, you have a problem. You can never have the peace that you need to have. You can never sense that you're just right with God. To be a healthy church, this must be our purpose, our mission, our aim. Every day, this is our life. We get up in the morning and say, "Lord, how can I honor You this day?" That's the way I'll live. Now you may say, "Bill, how then do I honor Him? What does this look like?" Well, biblically, first of all, it looks like believing. We really believe in Him. We believe that He's trustworthy. We believe that He keeps His word. And we know that about each other. We don't really believe in someone we don't trust. We don't really believe in someone if we think they're a liar. And to believe or not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ is to say He's real and true, or He's a liar and an imposter. So you begin by believing Him, in Him. And secondly, we join His cause, which is a righteous kingdom. And thirdly, we speak highly of Him. And we refuse to join with the crowd that are ridiculing and mocking and scoffing Him. And fourthly, we live as his representative. He's not here, but he left me here for his cause to represent him. This is being in God's purpose. What a Christmas time we could have, and what a life we could have, devoting ourselves to God's central purpose. And everything that we've said has been under the umbrella of God's sovereignty and of God's grace. And so this morning we can't look at this passage and say, I'm going to pump it up and I'm going to do this by my own effort or strength. No, we have his attitude of humility to say, Lord, I cannot come through with this, but I see it and I know it and I want it. So empower me this morning that I may join in your purpose to exalt Jesus Christ as my Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Philippians 2, 5 through 11, which gives us understanding of your eternal purpose, and which moves deeply in our hearts to cause us to want to be a part of that, to be with you, to join with you. And this morning our heart's desire is to lift up, to exalt, to honor, to give high regard and esteem and adoration to the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Cause us to worship you this morning and through the rest of our lives. And we thank you that our prayer is honored because we pray in Jesus' name, by his merit. Amen.